Blog Talk Radio.
Come on. It's totally
here we go. It has to be at this point. I swear, it's an additional 3 seconds every show. Hello and welcome to the Ant-Man edition of the GeekCast podcast. We're going to cover a little bit more than that, but I'm Justin Bissonnette. I'm joined by Evan Zalesko. What's up, Evan?
I put a lot of cereals in my mouth.
Awesome. We're handling supper as well as geek casting tonight, so it's a very chip filled supper time for us. So, I guess I should have gotten dinner time there, right? But supper time works. Is that more of a Southern thing or is that a, I don't know what I went with there. I guess supper's kind of more of a Southern thing, right?
Yeah.
Awesome. So, big weekend for Marvel Studios. They released Ant-Man this past weekend. We have both seen it. We both have ideas about it. We'll also talk about Gotham casting that was announced recently and should be pretty good. And some cartoon news, as well as some bits and pieces from there and there. I guess the biggest thing to start with is the Ant-Man stuff. So let's dive right into it, man. I guess I'll go first because I usually make you go first. But I thought it was really good. I thought it was in my top five, which I guess we'll revisit that too at some point. But I had no real major complaints. One of the things that I thought that I wasn't going to like was Michael Peña's character. But that actually ended up being my favorite character in the whole movie. I enjoyed the villain. Like, some people have complained that he was kind of, almost cheap heat some of the stuff he did early on to establish that he was a bad guy. But I was okay with that. Like, in the grand scheme of things, it's Ant-Man, so it kind of fit in for me. If you're asking me for cons, I really don't have a lot of cons. I kind of went in with the attitude of, but just have fun, you know? Like, and it lived up to all my expectations. So I didn't have any grandiose expectations other than I want to see some cool imagery when he shrinks, and I just want to have fun, and that's pretty much what they delivered. So I was over the moon. I was very happy with it.
Yeah. I think my biggest complaint about the movie was it didn't really show Cross experimenting on himself, because they referenced because Hope referenced, like, oh, the drugs have made you crazy, but we never see him take it. He's always experimenting on others, say what he experiments on, just in case you haven't seen it.
Actually, you know what? Spoiler alert. There you go. Pause it right now. And he experiments on lambs instead of mice because he's a bad guy. But, like, aside from that,
can you hear me?
Yeah, we're good now.
Okay. Like, I guess my biggest complaint about villains is, like, unless you know their history, like, just watching a Marvel movie straight up, a lot of the villains don't have a lot of character. Like, they don't have a lot of character development because, and it's hard to do that because, you know, they're villains. So, like, a lot of people complained Ronan was, you know, a one-dimensional character, but, like, he drops little lines about how his ancestors were, you know, persecuted. Like there's little bits, but I really liked the whole Cross, I wanted to be a son, why won't he accept me as a son? I'm going to do everything he did, but better, and go crazy doing it because I still want him to accept me as you know, a father figure. And I really dug that. They just never showed him, you know, messing with the formula on himself, and that was kind of implied by Hope, but we just never saw it. And that is my big takeaway, is that, or my big complaint. Other than that, I really thought it was super fun. Like, man, I enjoyed the shit out of it. Paul Rudd knocked it out. Like, I heard a lot of complaints that Hope should be the main character, and it's sexist because she's not, and because, you know, Michael Douglas' character doesn't let her. And I don't know, man. Like, I don't feel those concerns because it's a longer story. Like, people are judging one thing out of context and not waiting for the rest of the story. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and wasn't that kind of the point of the story, too? You know,
literally, there's a line where Paul Rudd says, "Do you know why he poked me instead of you? Because I'm expendable. I can die, you cannot." And, like, to him, that's perfect. Like, that's the truth. But everything, she should have stole the costume, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, nah, man, let the story unfold. If Ant-Man was a one and done, maybe we can have this discussion. Maybe. But Ant-Man's not a one and done. You know there's going to be more Ant-Man. You know he's going to show up in other stuff, and you know she's going to show up in stuff. So, come on. Like, and how cool was it at the end for the new Wasp suit to be revealed?
And I think Marvel has a pretty good track record of keeping the women's character that they do have fairly strong, you know?
Yeah. Well, I
mean,
like, really
look at Iron Man 3, honestly, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I read an interesting article that, like, somebody was like, it was a counter article that somebody was like, you know, oh, Black Widow, blah, blah, blah. Like, she's, I don't even, like, she has to embody everything a woman is because she's the only female on the team. And that's a fair thing, but, like, then, like, the article goes on, she only cares about the fact she can't have kids, which she doesn't. She just, that's a mentioning crossing that happened to her. But it's like, if you switch her in any other role, like, you can complain about that. Like, if Black Widow is the Hulk, she can't control her emotions. If she's Captain America, she's the prude who wants the language watched. You know what I mean? Like, any of those characters, like, you put Black Widow in that role and somebody has something to complain about. I think Marvel has done I won't say a fantastic job, but I'll say a good job with their female characters as not making them damsels in distress. Like, I talked to somebody recently about, like, I won't say the word whining. We were having a discussion about Gamora and how she was useless in Guardians of the Galaxy. And I'm like, well, did she lose any one-on-one fights? No. Did she lose any two-on-one fights? No. Gamora kicks ass. It's only when three or more people, you know, team up to attack her that she is, you know, that she loses a fight, and then she really still doesn't even lose. Like, I mean, it's
yeah,
like,
I thought Gamora was kept pretty strong. Like, I mean, one of those things when you go, okay, when Guardians of the Galaxy finally meet the Avengers, what do you want to see? I mean, Black Widow Gamora has got to be up there, you know?
Oh, yeah. Oh.
I think that.
When I think that,
I think
that's exactly
now
the
add,
fight I want to happen.
Yeah, like, maybe Thor versus Drax is up there.
Yeah.
But yeah, other than that.
Top fight is Gamora and Black Widow that I want, yeah. And I hope they make a Black Widow movie because I fucking would watch the shit out of that. Like, I'm already excited for the fucking Captain Marvel movie, as I've already talked about. It's my most wanted Marvel movie now, even more than Guardians 2.
I'm the other way about that one. I would rather just have her in as much as possible. You know what I mean? Like, even if there's never just a Black Widow movie, like, her being involved in everything, I think, makes her more special. Almost kind of like what they do with
I can see that. But I don't want to detract too much from Ant-Man and go on rants like we are known to do. But I whistle this, like, you know, they gave top billing to Edgar Wright, and there's moments in that movie where you can just say, that's an Edgar Wright script, you know?
Yeah.
The different stories, the fight between Falcon and Ant-Man, which I loved. I really liked that because it gave Falcon, like, way more personality than Cap's friend. Like,
yeah,
I just love that line. Don't worry, he can't see me. I can see you. He can see me. Like,
yeah,
it's just it's so fun, and the humor in it is dry and not dry and just all over the place, and I enjoy it. And I'm really sad to know what we could have had with Edgar Wright, but his influence are still definitely in that movie for people who are like, oh, I don't know.
Yeah. I'm happy with the rewrite too, because I don't think we get that Falcon Ant-Man fight without a new director. You know, some of the little Easter eggs in there, I don't think we get that without, you know, if it's Edgar Wright's strict standalone type script, you know what I mean?
Yeah. And like, for people who were like, oh, it should have been a standalone, Ant-Man is a different, what's the best way of saying it? Ant-Man is a different beast than Guardians. Guardians can be a quote-unquote standalone until they need to interfere, because it's not anywhere near Earth. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, you can't have something happened on Earth and not, like, I love the Avengers reference because, yeah, that absolutely should. Like, when he was like, I went one-on-one with an Avenger and didn't die, isn't that cause for, you know, celebration or praise? And it's like, that's true.
Yeah.
They fixed my sense.
Well, and this was part of the movie that I really enjoyed, too. When it was announced that it would be Scott Lang and not Hank Pym, There was a little rustling there. Although I think there's so much more depth to the Scott Lang character in the context of the Avengers that they have now. But I thought that Hank Pym was done very well. Like, it felt like Hank Pym at that part of his life. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I agree completely.
And I think also, like, there's not as much depth to Hank Pym as there is to Scott Lang. Like, as far as the origin of the character.
Yeah, and I think one of the sad things is people, like, will just go, oh, well, Hank Pym's major thing is he beat his wife. No, he didn't. Okay, it's a completely drawn-out thing. Hank Pym hit his wife once, and when I believe he's mind-controlled, I think I even went into this, when he's mind-controlled by a villain, like, he doesn't actively go out of his way to just beat the shit out of Jan. It happened one time, and it's like people just run with that out of context. Like, the Green Lantern fridge lady, that's something that is horrible. I don't know. But it's like Hank Pym has more to his character, but, like, one of his major things is he built Ultron. And with that being taken away from him, I think it's best to focus on Scott Lang.
Yeah. I was upset about that, too, because when it kind of started to get out that, okay, Ultron's going to be here, we don't even have Hank Pym, maybe it'll be Tony Stark that builds Ultron. That kind of rubbed me the wrong way. But after Ant-Man, I don't mind it. Like, it's still, everything still fits for me. You know, the character's still kind of intact. The the motivations for the characters are still intact. I walked away from Ant-Man basically with any issue I had with the Ultron stuff being relieved, you know?
Yeah, 100%, I agree. Like, and they did Ultron, like, in such a way that he was Tony Stark's kid. Like, he wasn't the Ultron we know from the comics. And maybe he could go into that and grow into it, but, like, you really got a sense that he was the creation of Tony Stark. Like, the quipping and all of it, like, it wasn't they just took Ant-Man and Tony Stark made him. It was they made an Iron Man made Ultron, and I'm fine with that.
Yeah.
So,
have you heard? Apparently, there was a different opening scene with Ant-Man in the late '80s, taking out like a drug lord type character. Have you heard about
really?
That at all?
I did.
Yeah. So apparently it's instead of the scene with with Agent Carter and Howard Stark, which I thought was awesome. I would
Yeah, which was a super pleasant surprise, right?
Yeah. There's enough material for Agent Carter for them to have like 10 seasons.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, like
I hope she gets a couple. I hope she gets more than that.
I want to see like 1959 Agent Carter, you know? Like,
yep.
I kind of hope that the series jumps some so that you can see her all throughout the development of S.H.I.E.L.D., you know? Like,
yeah.
That excites me. Like, there's a comic book called Avengers 1959, I think it is, where like Kraven the Hunter and Sabretooth are Avengers. Which doesn't really play like you would think it would. Like, the idea of them being like a League of Extraordinary Gentlemen type group at some point is really cool to me. And I would love to see that.
That's really cool. Yeah.
But yeah, apparently there's an alternative intro that Reed has pitched as a one-shot where basically Hank Pym Ant-Man, like, goes in covertly and just takes out this drug lord, but you never really see Ant-Man. He's like the Invisible Man type presentation. So I'm really excited for that possibly being released as well.
Yeah, that sounds... I'm totally all about that.
Cool. All right, well, I guess Ant-Man gets a huge thumbs up from both of us. Let's go into top five, because I know that this one kind of at least knocked on the door or altered both of ours. I'm still standing at Cap 2 as my number one, followed by Guardians, First Avengers. I'm going to go Iron Man 1 after that, just because it's kind of the first. It's what, you know, began everything. And then I have Ant-Man right after that, which is shortly after the Thor movies for me. So
that's
all. Iron Man, Ant-Man, and the Thor movies are all very close to me, but for right now, we'll call Ant-Man number five.
That is, all right, so mine is Guardians first, then Cap, then Iron Man 1, then Avengers. And Iron Man and kind of Avengers switch for me, depending on the mood I'm in, I guess. Then Ant-Man comes in at 5, and he just beat out Thor 2, and then I guess Thor 2 would be 6, and then Iron Man 3 would be 7, and then it goes down. But, you know. So, yeah, Ant-Man sneaking in there, like a sneaky sneak.
You know what always keeps Iron Man in the picture for me? There's one scene that is probably, like, my favorite. If you said, all right, a scene is, like, at least 30 seconds. The scene where he's over in Afghanistan or whatever, and the tank, and he's walking away and just kind of turns around and blasts the tank and then keeps on walking. Like, that imagery will always keep Iron Man, I think, in my top five. You know?
That's totally fair. I think mine would be, I mean, there's a lot of things, but my favorite is at the end where it's just like, he is Tony Stark, and he goes, fuck it, I'm Iron Man. And everybody just loses their shit, and like, that's a total Tony Stark thing. And just, like, a lot of people complain that Obadiah Stone wasn't a great villain, and I kind of agree and disagree, but overall, I thought the casting in Iron Man was probably some of the best overall one-shot casting they did, like, and just, I don't know, I just, Iron Man 1 is, and it was also nostalgia. It's what started the Marvel franchise, the Marvel Universe. So it's always got that going on for it, you know?
I mean, for me, I was thinking about that when I was thinking about Ant-Man and the strength of villains, basically, what came up in my mind. But what's great about that is how close that character is with Tony Stark on a personal level. Like, you never really get that again in the series, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like, Whiplash kind of has a connection, but only he knows it, so it's only really personal for him. Kildridge is kind of the same way. That's the only one where it's really personal on a two-way street, you know?
Yeah. No, I dig you, and I get you. So I understand.
Cool. So we both of us kind of gave up on Gotham early in season one, but some news has come out that is kind of worthy of a second look, I think. So you want to go ahead and take that one?
Yeah, sadly, Gotham might bring me back in with the casting of Michael Chiklis. Like, there's nothing he does that I don't love. You know what I mean? Like, I liked him as The Thing. And then the CGI was great, but whatever. But I thought he did a good job as Ben Grimm. So I will see him do whatever he does in Gotham, and I will give him as long as I can give him. Did I ever tell you I went back and watched, like, the last four episodes of Gotham? And they're just...
Is that when they teased the Joker, but not really the Joker?
Yeah, but then they'd say it's the kid anyway. They're like, it's not him. Wink. Well, wait, what?
Yeah.
Wink, wink. Like, oh, okay, I gotcha. It's where the Riddler turns full heel for no, like, because he kind of maybe possibly almost got caught, but not really. So he just goes crazy and starts talking to himself like he's a fucking psycho, which is not what he does. like, it just really, really lost me. So, but with Chiklis joining the cast, I might be back in. Now, here's the question. Do you think he is an all-new character, like they did with Jada Pinkett Smith, or he is an established character?
I thought of that too, man, and I'm not sure. Because I don't know what character, like, because apparently he's going to be basically a police chief that comes in busting balls, you know?
Really?
They're
going to make
which
him
will be,
all right.
Yeah, it'll,
well, that's got me.
It's perfect. It puts him right in line with what he should be, you know? But the, I'm kind of scared if they're going to mold him into an established character, are they? Because it doesn't really fit any profile that comes screaming at me, you know?
Yeah.
We'll see. I didn't want to get into this show, but this kind of makes me think of it. The DC TV universe seems to be, you know, kind of held by the balls by the movie universe right now, because apparently they put a cease on any more Deadshot showing up in the TV universe because Will Smith is now Deadshot.
Deadshot,
if you watch, they've creatively done a thing to take care of that, but, you know, there was an opening for him to come back still. And I guess the same thing kind of happened with any Green Lantern hope in the TV universe. So some of the characters that I think they could maybe, like, pull off with them, I worry that, that type of thing's going to happen.
Well, I guess, we'll just have to wait and see, like, which I don't understand. Like, I've said this before, like, I don't understand why they're distancing their wildly successful and popular TV universe. Like, even though Constantine got canceled, which it shouldn't have been, I will never not say Constantine. Netflix, it's Supernatural and Daredevil combined. You need to pick it up because I know the CEO of Netflix is listening to us.
Right. He's one of the three.
Yes. Him, Ricky, and a mystery guy who just randomly listens. It's so popular. Like, why would you just not include it? Like, you're stealing the Marvel... you're not really stealing the Marvel formula. You're trying your own hand at the Marvel formula. And, like, literally, it's, like, right there in front of you. And you're just like, no. I will recast Arrow. I will recast Flash just for the movies. It's like, why? What fucking possible reason could you have to want to do that?
It feels like, it's like, hey, would you like to take a head start at this? And they go, no. We're going to start from back here. You know, like, play to your strengths, you know? And like, people might listen to us and say that we're, you know, we're kind of Marvel fanboys. But it is. But at the same time, like, it's part of, like, why I will get in passionate debates about, like, the Fox X-Men movies and still go see every one of them. Like, the character, we know the good characters from DC, and we appreciate the good characters from DC, and, like, we see them done right on the TV version. We want to see them done in a bigger scale, and we want everything to succeed, obviously. And our interpretation of what they're doing is something that's not as successful as it could be, you know? When the TV stuff is good, we'll sit here and sing its praises, you know?
Mm-hmm. When any of it's good, like, if I thought Man of Steel was worth a fucking time of my day, I would say it's worth it, but it's not. Man of Steel is terrible, just so we're clear.
Yeah. Have you seen the rumblings that Constantine may make a cameo on Arrow this season?
Arrow? Oh, I want it so bad. I hope so much.
Yeah.
And then maybe people will be like, well, what's this Constantine show everybody's been talking about?
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, we should definitely pick this back up.
Breathe new life into it, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing that we had on the docket was the Guardians of the Galaxy cartoon for Disney XD finally got some footage released. It was not a lot, but there was a little bit in there, a nice little teaser. I'm pretty pumped for this because the Disney XD stuff is usually pretty good.
Yeah, I'm going to disagree. I think this is where we disagree. Like, I hate's a very strong word. I despise Ultimate Spider-Man because of what I had and what they took away from me, which was Spectacular Spider-Man, which if it's on Netflix, you should go watch it. I don't know if it still is anymore. And they took away.
You will hate Ultimate Spider-Man even more because that is all that's on Netflix now.
And now I do. And I despise Avengers because we had Avengers Earth's Mightiest Hero, and there's so many things we'll never know.
Yeah. It kind of morphed, it kind of followed the same, but not quite, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah. So I don't know how I feel about Guardians, just from the little bit I saw. It looks all right. I don't like the design of Star-Lord, but whatever, man. I just got to be able to, roll with the punches.
Yeah. I'll have to watch the full episode first. Because, the Ultimate Spider-Man, I could not stand to start with. The little, like, Family Guy-esque cutscenes and that.
Yep.
Really annoyed me the first season I watched.
I agree. So yeah. if you've never watched Spectacular Spider-Man, just watch it. It's so good. And same with you can buy it on Blu-ray, I think, for like $20 or $30 on Amazon, and it's worth it. It is an amazing. It's my favorite telling of Spider-Man, and I think if you track back through the early annals of our so far probably 15 or 16 episodes, I'll probably sing its praises previously. It is my favorite telling of the Spider-Man origin and mythos because it includes so many characters and some you've never seen in Spider-Man mythos. And same with Avengers. Like, it's not just, they're the Avengers, they fucking do shit. It's a slow burn. It's like 6 episodes,
yeah.
And then they're the Avengers. And it's like, okay, cool, I can dig this. And they start on Searcher, an awesome Thor storyline with Searcher, and then it just never comes because they don't get a third season.
Yeah. I'm gonna bring up one other thing. We have like 10 seconds, but that's all right. Additional content. How much, like, this is something I've thought about. The new Spider-Man reboot.
Yes.
How big of a cast do you think they're going to need to have to just kind of slow burn, kind of like when we fantasy booked this thing, to kind of slow burn and build that universe over you know, if it be three films or whatever. Like, there's a lot of ground to cover there, you know?
Yeah.
Between, you know, is Flash Thompson going to be part of it? Is Gwen Stacy going to be part of it? There's a ton of characters to cover in a short period of time, you know?
Yeah. I think they will be. I hope that they focus. Like, if they focus on the high school portion of his life, and then just kind of get into the Spider-Man aspects, I'd be totally fine with that. If they're like, he's already been Spider-Man, here's him like fighting things, like in quick cutaways of like why he's late, like, you know, chasing down a bad guy, the cops, and then he shows up late to class. Like, I'm cool with like the first movie not really being all about Spider-Man, but Peter Parker. And then, like, you know, at the end, he obviously has to fight whoever the big bad is going to be as Spider-Man, and that's cool. But to me, the best way to do it is to cover Peter Parker.
Yeah.
Because that's the reason he's an alter ego, is Spider-Man. Spider-Man is the alter ego.
Do you think they drop, this is my thought on it, do you think that they drop in, like, Kurt Connors and Doc Ock before they become those characters, obviously, that early into it? Or do you think that when we get Doc Ock, that's the first time that we see him?
No, I think they'll I hope they'll introduce the characters. I mean, it's not terribly hard to do, so I hope they do it. I mean, you know, we gave them a lot of material, you know. They're lucky to have us, Biff.
We try. We try our best. So awesome, man. We'll be back at it next week. We got tons of ideas, man. The Civil War draft is open to us now. We've seen Ant-Man,
yep.
So we know all the characters in play. So we can figure that out.
The Muppets TV that you're going to watch, because it's fucking
amazing.
Yeah,
I'm going to check that out as soon as I can get it to load up enough to watch it.
Space Jam,
yeah,
2,
man.
Let's not forget.
Yeah, is that official yet?
I think LeBron said it was official. Like, they made the deal and everything.
Cool. So that'll definitely be something to talk about. We might have to bring Big Daddy on for that one.
You know, he is all about cartoons. So, yep.
So, yeah, he'd be in for that. So, awesome, man. Well, we look forward to it, and we'll see you guys next week. Have a good one.
Thanks for listening.